Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Dr. Suzanne Stock, board-certified specialist in orthodontics. Dr. Stock is pleased to provide braces and Invisalign for children, teens, and adults in Iowa City and across Southeast Iowa. More online at drssortho.com.
It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Later on in this hour, a conversation with State Senator David Johnson of Ochiden. It was in 2016 that Johnson quit the Republican Party of Iowa to serve as an independent. Remember that? In protest of Donald Trump's candidacy for president. Well, Johnson has recently announced he will not be running for re-election. A live conversation with independent State Senator David Johnson coming up later in the hour. But first, are you welcoming the launch of Iowa's second official summer fireworks season? Well, the use of consumer fireworks were legalized last year. I'm sure you heard. Commercial sales got underway again last Friday in permanent buildings. Sales from those tents and temporary structures begins next week, June 13th. And according to Iowa law, all sales end on July 8th. The first year of legal fireworks in the state has left many Iowans confused, in a bit of a haze, wondering about the various rules and regulations governing when and where they're actually allowed. Now, also citizen reaction last year, complaints to the first year of the new law prompted some city officials to re-examine their local laws surrounding fireworks. According to state law, fireworks can be used on private property from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. June 1st through July 8th. But you have to pay attention to what it's happening on your local level. Many cities have set their own rules on when and where they can be shot off, or have even prohibited fireworks completely. In short, make sure you check with your local government, because dates and times for shooting fireworks are different depending where you are. For instance, as reported by the Des Moines Register, Ankeny and Waukee still allow fireworks to be set off on July 4th. But other cities, West Des Moines, Waterloo, Cedar Falls, have reversed their initial decision to allow fireworks following a rash of complaints at that local level. In just a minute, we'll talk about officials from two different communities from Waterloo, where they don't allow fireworks anymore, and we'll hear from Marion, where they are allowing it for a limited amount of time. But first, despite the patchwork of fireworks regulations in municipalities, the number of licensed vendors is expected to increase 20% this season. That's according to Radio Iowa. Let's talk with one of those vendors, Jeremiah Tierhark is with us. He's the owner of Iowa Fireworks Company, joining us by phone. Jeremiah, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
How many locations will you be selling your wares?
Well, right now we're getting Iowa Fireworks Company's sending out all the supplies to 43 different locations across the state this year.
And how does that compare with your company last year?
It's over double.
Over double. Okay, so you had a good resonance last year. You feel there's more capacity to meet?
Yes. What we found was we had customers come support us last year, and we felt that we were cautiously optimistic going into this year. So,
mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about Iowa Fireworks Company. Is this a family business?
Yes, I'm partners with my younger brother, Zach, and we both have other businesses, and we saw it as a once-in-a-century opportunity to start a new business with the passage of the fireworks law. Mm-hmm.
Are you native Iowans then, a family from Iowa?
We are. Mm-hmm. Yes, we grew up on a farm in north-central Iowa.
Tell me a little bit about your sales last year.
We had there's a lot of expenses that go into it, but we did have 32,000 customers that came out to our 21 locations last year and really came out to support us, and that's what gave us the confidence to increase locations going into this year.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about the range of fireworks we can find. Are these in permanent structures and tents, or just the tent-like structures?
We have one permanent location in Windsor Heights, south of Walmart, that's open now, and then the remainder are all temporary locations, and we have everything from small bottle rockets or sparklers to larger fireworks called cakes and mortars that go up into the sky.
Mm-hmm. What would you say the average customer buys in terms of quantity? What is coming out of the billfold or purse there for fireworks when someone walks into the tent?
Yeah, so Iowa Fireworks Company has a pretty wide range of types of products, and the customers vary widely too. So it might be someone stopped by yesterday and spent $2 on some little snap poppers that you throw on the ground. And also yesterday we had someone come in and spend a few $100 for different types of fireworks to use for a birthday celebration around the 4th.
Mm-hmm. So it's the whole gamut. Of course, these are places where you want to have the utmost in safety practices, your tents, your selling areas. Do you get inspected for your sales operations locations?
Yes. Yeah, so every location goes through a site plan review process, training for the helpers that are helping to staff those locations. And then we also expect to see fire professionals and or local city fire marshals and members of the cities.
Mm-hmm. So what in particular are they looking for that would be really dangerous on one of those sales sites?
Well, yes. So some of the things that are really important is the presence of the proper fire extinguishers within reach should there be any emergencies. Something new that they're looking for this year is called fire breaks, which actually if something was to ignite, it would protect other product from catching on fire. And then also just making sure that minors aren't being sold to. Fireworks are not for children. They're for adults and things along those lines.
Mm-hmm. Now, are you selling in areas? I mentioned some communities not allowing the use of fireworks, West Des Moines, Waterloo, Cedar Falls. Are you selling in any areas? Do you have sales going on in areas that are where the use is just forbidden?
We do, and some of that goes into the unknowns with the planning process. The rules can change relatively quickly, so when we're trying to plan out over the season, we don't exactly know what the city regulations will be at the time. In Waterloo, for example, we have locations on the outer edges of town, knowing that people from the greater area come into that market, but we do encourage everyone to follow the rules, and we work with the local fire professionals and city to make sure we communicate anything they want communicated to the customers.
Okay, so if I come and buy fireworks from one of your areas, the person selling it to me, do I have to ask or will I be told, now pay attention to the local restrictions, and here they are?
Some of the cities have given us pamphlets and flyers to hand out along with our safety information that we hand out with the sales that we do. What we're actually encouraging this year is because the rules can change so quickly, is to actually reach out to the city or county before they use any of the product to make sure they know when and if it can be used or if they need to find someone outside of city limits, for example, to use it.
Mm-hmm. This must be a challenge for you as a retailer of fireworks to keep up on this rapidly changing patchwork of restrictions.
It is, and that's part of the reason why we've really recommended to check directly with the cities and the counties this year, because we have, with having so many locations, I don't want any one of us to give out incorrect information that would either get somebody in trouble or just be providing misinformation. So we felt this would be the most accurate way to provide them where to go to find out what they need, unless the city has specifically provided us something to hand out with the sales, which we're happy to do.
Mm-hmm. I mentioned communities around Iowa, the officials getting a rash of complaints our first year of legal fireworks last year. Have you as a company gotten in touch with you who really dislike your business? Some any nasty remarks, comments?
We do, yes. On Facebook is a great way to share input, whether that's positive or negative. And some people feel strongly for fireworks, some people feel strongly against fireworks, and we are here to supply them, knowing that customers are going to buy them from somewhere anyway. But we do encourage everyone to be a good neighbor and to try to respect those around them, whether that's shooting things off when they're not supposed to, or just trying to be respectful of those around them so they don't mm-hmm. ruin the fun for everybody, so to speak.
Right, but then it comes down to what does that mean to be a good neighbor or be respectful? I mean, if you have a neighbor you know whose pet is terrified of fireworks, what do you do? What is your advice there? Or if you have, there are those with PTSD who face a real challenge at this time of the year, some of our veterans. What does it mean to be a good neighbor in that context when you get down to specifics?
Well, I think limiting or letting them know when you're planning to do, because someone who has issues or pets, some of the things that you could do would be to inform people when you are planning to do a fireworks party, for example, if you're doing it in a loud area. So then that would actually give them an opportunity to go out to eat or go do something else while you're doing it for that defined period of time. So that might be one idea. Depending on your relationship with the neighbor, it might be a good opportunity to go find someone out in the country to hold that party with another friend out in the country.
Okay. As with a lot of neighborly relations, it depends on the relationship you have with the neighbor and what it's worth to you to fire them off in your backyard.
That'd be my suggestion.
If it's allowed. Okay. Leave us with a couple of safety hints here before we go, Jeremiah.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is to any parents that are listening, fireworks aren't for kids, even down to sparklers. There's a lot of injuries caused by even something as small as a sparkler. They get extremely hot. So whenever you're using the product, make sure your kids are at a safe distance away and that you're there at all times. And that is something that we really want to hone in on, because people need to know that fireworks are dangerous. They can be fun to watch and look at a distance, but they are dangerous, and don't let your kids alone with them.
Okay, Jeremiah Tierhark is the owner of Iowa Fireworks Company. Jeremiah, thanks for talking with us today.
Yes, thanks for having me.
River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. This half hour, we're looking at the second official summer fireworks season that got underway June 1st. Let's now talk with Tat Treloar, Fire Chief for the City of Waterloo. Fire Chief Treloar, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Now, I understand the City of Waterloo has changed since last year, right? Are you allowing any fireworks at any time during this season?
No, the City of Waterloo has banned the use of fireworks. Last year, 2017, when the Senate File 49 was passed, we as a city decided to allow the use of fireworks from June 30th to July 4th, just to see how it would go and make a decision after that.
Mm-hmm. And so tell me a little bit about what kind of complaints you got and how many there in Waterloo.
Well, there was some confusion in the beginning. Of course, we thought the state did a poor job of rolling out the new law. There wasn't enough time, really, for communities like ours to get things in place, notification to the public. But we did realize just shy of 800 complaints from June 1st through July 4th of last year. And those ranged from noise complaints to them shooting off fireworks not in the allotted time, which was June 30th to July 4th.
Talk about enforcement here. I know you're fire chief, but your people may not necessarily respond, though perhaps they do. This is a difficult thing to enforce, is it not?
Sure, yeah, it is. It certainly tasked Waterloo PD. I think they did a very good job with the increased calls for service. But I'm sure they didn't get to all those complaints. And for the most part, I think people were just unaware of what the expectations were. You know, they walk into a vendor June 2nd, they buy a whole pile of fireworks legally. I think some were under the impression that, well, I can buy it, I can use it.
Well, yeah, that is, I mean, on its face, it is confusing, right? You're selling them from tents in a parking lot, but in the Waterloo area, but you can't use them, right?
Correct. Yeah. So, you know, it's sort of like going into the beer store, buying beer, and beer is being illegal to drink in your community.
Okay.
But it is, that's what our city council has decided to do. And so the use of fireworks is banned in the city of Waterloo.
Do you think that this sort of, I'll just say, straddling of the state law here by not just your community, by a number of communities with various restrictions or outright bans, do you think that's sustainable in the long run? Do you see this being the way it will be for years, or is there going to have to be sort of a rethinking of what's going on a larger scale?
Well, I think our city council was somewhat split on it. They certainly put the time that I thought they needed to make a decision like this. And I think time will tell. We're certainly under the impression that the first year, last year, I think the novelty will wear off a little bit. So we're sure hoping that our complaints, our calls for service go down. I recently just talked with our police captain, and he informed me that they've had about 39 calls related to fireworks since the 1st of April. They had two related fireworks complaints yesterday. So I think to answer your question, time will tell. Is it sustainable? I'm not sure. As long as the vendors have customers to buy, I'm sure the vendors will be opening for business.
Right. Before we say goodbye, of course, the top priority here is that there are no injuries, ideally. Were there injuries in your city last year in Waterloo?
So Waterloo Fire Rescue, we run the ambulance service for the city. We did not transport any fire-related type of injuries to people. We have reached out to both area hospitals this year. We're going to get information on how many patients that they saw or treated that may have walked into the ER or have been, transported by private car. Interesting, too, we didn't have any fires that were contributed to by fireworks as well. So in one sense, I think we got lucky last year, but let's just hope that that's going to continue for this year.
Okay. Tat Treloar, Fire Chief for the City of Waterloo. Thanks for joining us, Tat.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Let's also talk with Tom Dobbs, a public information officer for the Marion Police Department. Let's swing down to Marion. Tom, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
In about 5 minutes here, tell us about your restrictions. You are allowing the use of fireworks in Marion under what conditions?
They can use them on the 4th of July from noon until 11 p.m. that day only.
Okay, from that day only, so you've got 11 hours. Can you tell us a little bit about the debate, how Marion arrived at that? Is that the same restriction you had last year?
I think it's fairly close. I do need to add that at the end of the year, from December 31st at 6 p.m. until 30 minutes after midnight on January 1st, they do allow them as well. So those are the two times they allow. And yes, the city did receive a lot of pushback and input from both sides. City Council, I think, is working, trying to hear both sides of the issue and come up with a compromise. And they feel that that is an allowable time to use those fireworks. And we're hoping that people use common sense and be respectful of their neighbors and follow the rules and the guidelines set forth, and that everyone can kind of get along with it. You're not going to make everybody happy all the time, but we're going to try to do what we can to find that middle ground, so to speak.
I imagine there was somewhat of a learning curve being the first year last year with your officers at the Marion Police Department responding to complaints. Walk us through a typical complaint. How do officers respond? What do they need to determine? What do they say?
Well, initially what will happen is either a caller or several callers upset with the noise, or if it's outside the parameters, even if it is inside the parameters, people are still going to call. Last year we had a lot of that, and the dispatchers did a great job of telling the caller, I understand you're not happy with it, but right now it's allowable. But if it's a situation where they're shooting the fireworks from public property, like a Linmar High School or a Vernon Middle School or any of the parks in Marion, that is forbidden. So they would respond to that. But the dispatchers do a great job of triaging the call and trying to find out, where's the issue? Is it within the guidelines? Is it causing a concern or a safety hazard or safety issue? Then they're going to deal with that. But a lot of the calls last year weren't a violation, so to speak, and so unfortunately they had to tell the callers that that's not a violation at this point. And if they continue it past the time frame, then of course we would respond. But if it's a situation where the calls are coming in and the person's doing it 3 o'clock in the morning or something along those lines, they're going to send an officer or two out there, and if they can catch the person in the act, then they run the risk of receiving a citation, a simple misdemeanor violation. They'll have a day in court, and they can explain themselves to the judge. That's kind of how the process works. But I can tell you, working backwards, when I was an overnight shift officer 10, 15 years ago, around the 4th of July, you knew you were going to get fireworks complaints. Then it was not legal in the state of Iowa, so you basically just had to be lucky and catch someone in the act, and then you could charge them accordingly and deal with the consequences on that regard. But it was again, not the most opportunistic way to do it, because by the time, you know, someone shoots off two or three fireworks and they lay low for an hour or so, you're not going to have that chance of enforcing it as well as we do now with certain guidelines and then people being a little bit more aware of when and what they can do with the fireworks.
To your knowledge, did you have people cited? I don't know if a fine is connected with that last year. Did anybody actually have to go to court?
I believe there was at least one issue I'm aware of where it was at a school parking lot. I'm trying to think exactly how it happened. Something about there was like some construction. There was a temporary restroom facility, a porta potty, if you will, and someone was shooting it off at the device or at the facility, and someone got charged. And there's also a criminal mischief citation that went along with that because they damaged that property.
Mm-hmm.
So some situations like that do pop up, and it's like the other callers said, it's a learning experience. It's a learning curve. We're trying to educate the public and knowing that it is allowed. And if it's something where you follow the rules and the guidelines, I think the city council will continue to approve it. But if you have too many people violating that and too many people are upset and present a case to cancel the fireworks, I could see where we could go along the lines of a Waterloo or other community and cancel it. But I don't think we're to that point yet. I think we're still hoping that people err on the side of caution, use their common sense, and be respectful, and well, then we'll see how it shakes out.
Tom, we have about a minute left. What about injuries last year in the Marion area? Were there?
We did have one injury. It was someone that was a little intoxicated and should not have been handling fireworks, and they landed in the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. But yes, we did have one that I'm aware of. I was working the night that happened and remember the call going out, but that was the lone injury that I'm aware of from last year.
Any details, a finger, hand, or injury?
I believe he launched a firework off the top of his head, and so he had some severe burns to the scalp and skin area on top of his head, but nothing that required like a emergency trip to the University of Iowa hospitals and clinics. It was just handled locally, I believe.
Okay, well, good for that person. Doesn't say it on the fireworks package. Do not launch from your head.
I think you're right. And your first caller might would know. He's got a lot of those in front of him. He could tell us what it says, but I bet you're right. I don't think it says it there.
Okay, Tom Dobbs, Public Information Officer for the Marion Police Department. Thanks for the view from Marion, Tom.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for having me.
When we continue after a short break, a live conversation with State Senator David Johnson of Ocheyedan. That's in extreme northwest Iowa. If you remember this news item from 2016, Senator Johnson quit the Republican Party of Iowa to serve as an independent. That was in protest to Donald Trump's candidacy. He's just announced he will not be running for re-election. We'll ask him why after this. Also, I'll ask him about how politics have changed in his nearly 20 years as a lawmaker in Iowa. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer, back in just a moment.